It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. Today we want to continue our study in the book of Romans, and I'd like to start with Romans chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. Starting with verse 10, it says, "And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me." Verse 12, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good." Well, the law that Paul, as a Jew, thought would lead to life actually led him to know that he was dead in trespasses and sins. In other words, it let Paul know that he was a sinner. He eventually realized he was actually dead because of sin from the information contained in the law. The law brought him to a saving knowledge of Christ. And then the law showed him that there is no way to be saved apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. He was saved. But then he did not have to let sin, which was working or he thought was going to save him, he wouldn't let that sin work in him. Nobody is saved apart from Jesus Christ. Paul realized this. In verse 12, it says, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy." Why is it holy, and why is it just, and why is it good? It's good because it brings us to a knowledge of knowing that we're sinners and that we need Jesus Christ as our Savior. And in verse 12, once again, let me read that. "Wherefore by the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good." Because of what Paul learned from the law, verses 10 and 11, he realized everything about the law was holy, just, and good. Well, then we look in Romans chapter 7, verse 13, where it says, "Was then that which is good made death unto me?" Well, Paul's talking about the Ten Commandments once again here, and he says, "God forbid, but sin that it might appear sin." In other words, the Ten Commandments, the law, was given that Paul could understand what sin was, and that's the reason the law was given to us today and down through the ages, to let us know that we're sinners. Paul says, "But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful." You see, sin was and is identified by the law. Any sin is as bad as another. And let me give you an example here. Stealing is as bad as murder. You've broken the Ten Commandments. Lust is adultery. That's in the Ten Commandments. You've done wrong. And you read on and you find out that any sin is as bad as another one. If one sin is committed, we are guilty of breaking all of the commandments according to the Word of God. James chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point." In other words, if you don't do one thing that's wrong, in other words, sin, if you do not steal, but if you do something else that's wrong, the Bible says here in James 2, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Verse 11 says, "For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law." And we look at other scriptures in the Word of God. In Matthew 5:28, the Bible says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Romans chapter 2 and verse 1, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things." See, we're guilty of breaking the whole law if we do one thing that's wrong. And that's the reason the Bible says we cannot be saved unless we have asked Jesus Christ into our hearts. Romans chapter 7, verse 14, Paul goes on to say, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal." In other words, I'm fleshly, sold under sin. The law is spiritual, but I'm in the flesh, Paul's saying. And as a result of being in the flesh, I became a possession of the law. The law possessed me, Paul says. And Paul goes on in verse 15 through 20, and let's read that together. In verse 15, it starts by saying, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Well, Paul seems to be saying here, he seems to be saying this, though I desire to do good and hate evil, being in the flesh, being human, I find myself enslaved by sin. I want to do right, but in my flesh, I know there is nothing good. I want to do what is right, but bad things always seem to be the result of what I do. I just can't seem to do what is right. Now, I realize that if I do what I do not want to do, that's sin. It is not my real desire to do it, but it is sin that lives in me. Well, why? Because I'm in the flesh. That's Paul. You know, if we're honest, that's what happens to us as well. And that's what's going on in our lives. Paul the Apostle wrestled with that. And he's trying to tell these people at Rome that he's willing to, and he's writing to us as well, he's willing to let us know that there are times when we just can't seem to overcome. There's times that we just feel like throwing in the towel. Well, now notice in verses 21 through 23, Paul says this, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Well, Paul is saying here, what I find is a law of good and evil that is always with me. And verse 20, it says that in verse 21, and he says, "I delight, I have joy in God's law that is for the inward, the spiritual man," verse 22. In John chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." See, we've been born of the Spirit if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Paul says, there's a conflict between my mind and my body, the sin of works in my body holding me prisoner. I'm made a prisoner because of sin, he's saying here. Well, notice this in verse 24 and 25, that there's a question and the answer. Paul says in verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Verse 25, the answer, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Now he's not giving permission to sin here. He's simply stating a fact. He's saying, who can deliver me from eternal death, the result of sin? Only God through Jesus Christ can deliver me from this body and my soul that is dying because of sin. And that's Paul speaking. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 through 57, it says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's what Paul is telling us back in the book of Romans in chapter 7. He's telling us that we can be and are delivered from the body of death by and through Jesus Christ. And this is the one who has saved us. He's the one who is going to make it possible for us to go to heaven. Well, now let's look in chapter 8 of the book of Romans. The two objectives that I see here, and we're going to look at today through our studies of this chapter, it's these. First, we see it's to appreciate the place of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit has, and what the place has, and the Holy Spirit has in our lives, the lives of Christians. And secondly, it's to realize the extent of God's love toward us. Well, now in summary of chapter 7, Paul described the dilemma of man who becomes a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in the members of his body. And in the last five verses, Paul made reference to the hope of liberation made possible by God through Jesus Christ. Well, in chapter 8, Paul amplifies on the freedom from sin found in Christ. First, for those in Christ who are working according to the Spirit, there is no condemnation for sin, for the death of Christ for sin has set us free from the law of sin and death by fulfilling the requirement of the law. Well, that's found in verses 1 through 4. Now, in chapter 8, verses 1 through 17, we see that in Christ there is freedom from sin. In Romans chapter 8 and verses 1 through 4, let's look at verses 1 through 2 right now. And it says, there is there now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, this tells me that there is freedom from the condemnation of sin, and that freedom is available to those in Christ, and it's made possible by the law of the Spirit of life, according to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Well, then I see in verses 3 and 4, there's freedom from the condemnation of sin. It says there, starting with verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. An accomplishment here that we see is not attained by the law, but by the death of Christ. And this is what Paul is saying here. The law cannot take us to heaven. We cannot live successfully in this life as people trying to go to heaven. You cannot try. You must know. You must believe Jesus Christ is your Savior in order to have victory in this life as a Christian. Now, once again, let me remind you that Paul says there is a warfare going on, and as long as we're in this flesh, we're going to have problems. If someone tells you that when you get saved, everything is a bed of roses, that person is not telling you the truth. That person does not know what the Bible is teaching. The Bible teaches us that there is a spiritual warfare that goes on in our lives, and we're going to read about that later on, and one of the ways that we overcome this is through the study of the Word of God. Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we're to put on the whole armor of God. We're to study. We're to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I believe that's where we look to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. God gives us the victory, but we need to realize that victory. And we can realize that victory as we study the Word of God. Know Him today as your Savior. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And this is Jesus speaking. Call upon Him today and receive Him as your Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.